this story of how Christ dynamically transformed a man's life in a wonderful, positive way. So, you know, I tried a little experiment. I don't know how many of you are counters. I was born counting. That's what my foster parents said. It was just something that I would count my steps. I would count their steps. I would count everything, you know. And so in my mind, you know, as soon as I began talking, I was counting. And I don't know whether that's a plague or what, but that was just me. You have an extra row this morning. You might not have known that. We decided to do that this morning. And so, and part of it is, you know, we are all creatures of habit. You know that? Diane and I always sit in the second row from the front. I don't know if you've noticed that over the couple of years, but we're kind of a creature of habit. You know, and we have some folks that like to take the back row. And so I was thinking that we're going to have two rows here that would be totally empty because they're either from the front counters or from the back counters where they naturally sit. But we are creatures of habit. And that is just a truism of who we are. We're going to look at a very, very familiar psalm this morning. These are sacred songs indeed. And yet they are windows of faith. Genuine, wonderful, beautiful windows of faith. And we're going to look at one that if you have been around God's word for very long, and if you have been going to church very long, chances are you've heard it. For many of us older folks, chances are you've memorized it. It is probably one of the, if not the, most well-known psalm in God's word. And it is a psalm that we love. It is a psalm that we go to when we're hurting. It's a psalm that we go to when we need encouragement. You know, the last song that the worship team sang, you know, trust in Jesus. This particular psalm just captures that because it is a psalm, Psalm 23, that really talks about genuine assurance. A real assurance. It is something that you and I can put our faith and trust in life for every aspect of life. We know that sheep, you know, they can be led astray and, you know, and they do. They wander off from the flock and nowadays they do have sheep dogs that help them keep them within the group, but back in the day, it was more just the shepherds, and that's what they did, and we know that sheep can be a little foolish in what they do as well, and I just read a book that had a story in it, a present-day story in it, of a shepherd in Ireland who was taking care of sheep, and all of a sudden, he recognized that one was gone and went looking for it, and it had fallen over an area near the cliffs of Moher. And down he had gone. And yet, the shepherd could hear him bleating, you know, just meh, you know, like sheep do. And the good shepherd said, okay, kind of peeked and walked away. Our good shepherd would never do that to us. Now, he did it for a purpose, of which, if you understand Paul Harvey, you'll get the rest of the story later. But we have genuine assurance in Christ our Lord. So if this is a familiar psalm, don't turn off your hearing aids. I've heard it all before. I've heard it probably 16 times before. You know, please don't do that. Let's look at it fresh for the encouragement that we find within it. All right, let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the genuineness of your love and the amazing aspect that we have in having Christ as our good shepherd. And Lord, I just ask your hand a blessing on this time, that it would be a time where we would see and experience and be encouraged by this precious psalm. Lord, I pray it'd fall fresh on our hearts, that it would take deep root in fertile soil because our hearts are open to all that you are. Oh, Lord, meet every need in every heart here today through your riches and glory, through the wonder of your great love. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 23, where we see that our shepherd desires that we walk in assurance of eternity. In his assurance of eternity. Yes, and even in all of his promises. Bottom line, as we look at the very first verse, he yearns and is our shepherd. Notice what he says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, we know that as our shepherd, It is the fact that he comes alongside of us and he wants to meet our needs. Now, we can often get confused as to what that need is. We often live in a time where our culture and some health, wealth, and prosperities will only focus on physical needs and prosperity rather than the fact that God's first and foremost, utmost promise to you and I is the fact that he yearns to meet our needs of our soul, wanting to bring it to life. It is dead in trespasses and sins. It is far away from those things that God would want us to do, and he wants to meet the needs of our heart and our minds and our emotions in a powerful way, the depths of our soul. You know, Christmas is coming upon us, and I was reminding the leaders downstairs that sometimes Christmas can be a very difficult season for a lot of people. You know, a loss of a loved one over the course of the year, and now they're facing a holiday without that special loved one, a broken relationship, you know, and it can become very, very difficult. The battle of a physical battle, an ailment that has been brought to pass within, and so it loses its joy and its hope. It can be the fact that we are just in financial straits for whatever reason, and having been raised in a rather poor home, I understand that. The reality of wondering if there would be any quote-unquote Christmas gift under the tree. And as a lost young person, knowing that often there would be very meager, if anything, there. You know, and I don't say that to play a violin, just knowing the reality of how it impacted me as a kid growing up in a home of that financial stature, if you will, and how difficult it was. Because kids at school, they're all talking about and all that they get, and you know, dying a little bit inside of that envy thing because I don't understand and the reality of it. So it can be very difficult at all ages, and it can be difficult for the parents because the parents would really love to do more for their family, and they're just not in a financial position to do that and to be able to be the blessing within it. But to find hope and to find joy for our hearts and souls is found in Jesus Christ. Keep your finger right there in Psalm 23 and go to another familiar passage of Scripture in John's Gospel, in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And start in verse 7 with me. And again, our Lord is teaching. He is talking about being the doorkeeper of the sheepfold, and that the doorkeeper knows the sheep by name, and that they hear his voice and they follow him. And then he says in verse 7 this, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him." In other words, people have come before declaring that they were the Christ, or they were the God that they needed to follow. And he's saying they are thieves and robbers. They are liars. You know, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Oh, isn't that a beautiful thought? You know, he is the one. You know, in John 14, he declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And so when we talk about salvation in Jesus Christ, we are echoing his heart. We are echoing his truth. We are declaring those things that he has already declared in who he is and why he came. Verse 10, the thief, and this is one of my favorite verses, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy." Ah, he is looking for his own personal gain, his own personal preeminence in life. "But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." This is a life filled with hope and joy and assurance that God is God and God is still on the throne and he hasn't left me. He loves me and he will care for me. Notice how it continues on. "But the hireling, I am the good shepherd," verse 11, excuse me, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." I want us to think a little bit about, Alex has brought it up, that the shepherd's got to go in and see Christ, the Son of God. And I want you to think about this for a second. You know, we enjoy, you know, celebrating the birth of Christ, don't we? For those of us who celebrate Christmas for that reason, don't we enjoy that? Yeah, and it should be something we celebrate 365 days out of the year, just like we celebrate the resurrection of Christ around Easter. Resurrection should be something that we celebrate in our own walk 365 days out of the year. It should be something that's always there. But think about Mary. You know, she is sitting there. She has her baby, and now he is all wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I just sit back. Here he is, 100% God, 100% man, in that little bitty package of a newborn babe. Now, I've had the joy of holding newborn babies, our own four, some of my grandchildren, other people's children, you know, and just the joy. But in that little bundle, in that little miracle of procreation, we celebrate. Here, it is something extra special because wrapped in that little swaddling cloth is all the power of God. Because he is God. And he's a baby. He's going to learn how to crawl. He's going to learn how to walk, just like you and I had to, our children had to, and the joy of it. But in that little bundle of joy is all of God. And did anybody really recognize it? You know, the angels told the shepherds, "Here he is. Here he is. Here he comes. He's a king." You know, and much of Israel was looking for that king, bypassing the need of a savior. And here he is. And he is our shepherd, our good shepherd. Ah. Don't ever allow that to become a mundane verse. Don't ever allow that verse to become something that it is not. You know, I shall not want. Why? Because my God will provide every single resource to nurture my soul so I can walk with him in communion of the wonders of all that he is. The fact that he opens up heaven's door through Christ our Lord so we get to see a glimpse of our great God and have a relationship with the very creator of the universe as father and child ought to be amazing. It ought to be something that thrives in our hearts and lives moment by moment every single day. And the wonder of who he is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Did you catch the word my? That means he wants to be your personal savior as well as my personal savior. Where he becomes my God, my father. And it will only be through Jesus Christ. David is experiencing the fact that he is his shepherd. Oh, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, he's still the good shepherd. That will never change. But he isn't your good shepherd until the day you cry out asking God to forgive you your sins and you trust Christ as your personal Savior. That's the reason why he came, to give his life for the sheep. Verse 2, back in Psalm 23. Verses 2 and 3 just capture the fact that he is the great nurturer. He desires to nurture or build and grow and edify our souls. Notice what he says. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Ha! That means lush, sweet meadows. Being able to graze peacefully with rest in our souls, no matter the calamity around us, to be able to truly see all that he is and to grow in life within our spirit, to become spiritually mature. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He yearns for, he provides them for us so that, and he does it through his word. He does it through communion with him. He wants us to just grow. It goes on to say, and he leads me beside the still waters. That means he is that which refreshes. He is there. He gives it. I don't know about you, the times that I've been very, very thirsty and I've been in very arid climates and just knowing I need something to drink with my father-in-law, I often found myself up in the hay mow, mowing hay and chaff and everything is gone. And so I would just get so dry and everything, and I couldn't wait to get down to get something to drink, you know, because I'm so parched. And how refreshing it is. And that's what Jesus likes to do. He likes to provide refreshment. He knows we will go through difficult times, and therefore when we do, he wants to lead us by the still water. It's not a crashing brook rapids. It is something still and moving that's cool and refreshing. I remember as a kid being on a farm, and it wasn't our farm, my biological family, but another family, and they had artesian wells. Now, I don't know if you know what artesian wells, but they're something that bubble out of the ground all the time, 365 days a year. It is cold, it is brisk, it is beautiful tasting water, and it would always create this nice little babbling brook, this calm little thing. And I loved it as a kid to be out playing out in their back 40 or 60 or 80 acres, whatever it was, and living in my imagination and stopping at that brook and getting down on all knees and just taking a sip of beautiful tasting water and the wonder of it. You know, that I could actually find the resource of it often, and it's just bubbling out of the ground. Well, that's what bubbles out of our Lord and Savior all the time. You and I can have that refreshment. He is the one that we go to be able to be refreshed, to be revitalized. Notice what he says in verse 3. In verse 20, he goes, he restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That restoration, that comes from the green pasture and the still waters, his nurturing, his refreshing. He gives us that purpose and direction again so that we can follow passionately after him so that he can direct us in life and bring glory to his name. Many of you know that I love Galatians chapter 5, you know, because it is there where God talks to us about walking in his Spirit, being led by his Spirit, living in the Spirit, having the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives. And it is a group of verses that is bookended with walking in the Spirit, not grieving and quenching the Spirit of God in our own lives, so that his word, his refreshment is always there, just wonderfully going to, so that we can live a life that glorifies him. You know, that Colossians 3, 23 and 24 comes to mind. Let me read it real fast, where it says this: whatever we do, do it all heartily as to the Lord and not as to men, knowing that from the Lord we would receive the reward, for we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, shared that we love serving, and that you know, we invite you to serve right along. You know, everything from cleaning, running a vacuum cleaner and cleaning a toilet, to serving in children's ministry, greeters and ushers. You know, and being a greeter isn't really hard. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but I mean, we have folks that have a bulletin in one hand, a smile on their face, and hi, how are you today? And a hand that's willing to shake if you're willing to shake. Guess what? That's all the qualifications for a greeter. Yeah, it's a piece of cake. Yep. You know what, gals? You could be greeters. It's not a guy thing. Anybody can be a greeter. Yeah, and so it's just being able to serve the body of Christ and to be that which invites others to expect something good within the house of the Lord, to celebrate all that he is. Walking in the fruit of the Spirit, genuinely excited that he is God and that he is their good shepherd, and the wonder of all that he is, growing in his grace because he nurtures, he feeds, wanting to look at his beautiful love letter and allow it to penetrate who we are. We become people who do not want, because we trust him in all that he has brought to pass and all that he will bring to pass. He is a nurturer. He loves us. He cares for us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Ah, and we get to have the joy of doing all things for his glory. You know, and that's what that verse says, all things. I want you to pause for a moment, and I want you to contemplate this. Just think about what you do through a normal day, wherever you're at. You know, I used to work in a machine shop, and a big transition in my life of doing it as an unsaved man, full of arrogance and pride and foolishness, versus doing it as a man who now loves God, to where the job even is something that I do for God's glory. I want to please him, not just my bosses. I don't want to just satisfy a quota. All that I do to please him. Just think about your normal day. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. You know, maybe it's working in the school down here. Maybe it's working in insurance. Maybe it's working in construction. If Joel was here, I'd pick on him, you know, because his present job is working up on top of God's mountain. Yeah, I know they call it America's, but I think it's God's. And he's a part of running the cranes up there to build the new edifices. And naturally, there's some days he can't work, you know, and he's already been up there one day this year, and he got up there and everything was frozen. The crane didn't want to move. And so he has those kind of headaches, you know, and stuff like that. I'm quite sure he's not working up there today or yesterday. But, you know, the joy of doing that, and if you ask him, He has some pictures because he gets up there before sunrise to care for the machinery. And some of the pictures that he has of the sunrises around here are just simply amazing, because he's standing atop of God's mountain, enjoying God's creation in the midst of what he has to do to earn a living. Isn't that amazing what God allows us to do? There is not an aspect from doing the wash to cooking a meal to helping our children get dressed, in the morning. There is not a thing that we do in life that we cannot do for God's glory. And that's what he yearns for us to do. As we look at these verses, because he is the one that makes me to lie down in green pastures, because he leads me beside the still waters and rejuvenates, because he restores our soul and leads us in the paths of righteousness. And then he starts talking about life. You're going to face life. Verse 4 goes on to say, and he starts revealing how he is our protector in life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now think about David. Did he face death a lot? Absolutely. He ran from Saul for 9 years. If you remember, Saul, after giving David his daughter, then tries to pin his body to the wall with a spear. And Saul wasn't no small man. He was a big, strong man, and I imagine he had a little force behind that spear, and David is constantly running for his life, it seems like, and then he, as a great warrior to bring peace in all of Israel and to defeat them, he did. I know all of us walk through the valley of the shadow of death every day, one way or another. Whether it's because of the violence in our own nation or whether it's because of the illnesses around us, we walk through that. That is a reality. The greatest reality of it is the fact that we walk amongst a lot of people who do not know Christ as Savior. That's the greatest. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, people who have no hope, who are at war in their soul, and they don't even know it. And he says, I will fear no evil, because he is the one that protects me. He has given us his victory, his presence around us. You are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And again, he's getting back to that imagery of being the shepherd, the staff that prods them along, that moved them from one good pasture to another good pasture, and from one resting place at night to another. He did that. Now, the crook of the rod was the thing that he used when the sheep got themselves in trouble. Now, let's go back to our story that I just read about in Ireland. Everybody's going, why aren't you getting it? It's down there. And if it takes a step out farther, he's going to fall 150 feet and it's going to be dead. Why aren't you going after it? It's not time. And he waited and waited until all the grass was eaten. And all of a sudden that sheep was going, bah, bah, looking around. He knew that until it got weak because of its mentality, that if he had jumped down, he couldn't just reach it. So he had to jump down and use a rope to get it up. He knew that if he had tried to go down, it would have scared it and it would have gone. It would have leapt by itself. And so he had to wait till it got to a point to where it wanted to be recovered. I did not know that about sheep, but at least that particular kind, and in his, that's the way he shepherded. Our God wants us to know that we are always recoverable, and he yearns to recover us and to reconcile with us in a moment's notice. He is that kind of protector. He yearns to with our soul. You know, I often think of the churches in the Pakistans and the Iraqs and the Irans and knowing and the Chinas now, because they are really coming down heavy on the church again in China and the persecution. And we could sit back and say, where is your protector? And yet God has proven through the book of Acts, when trial and tribulation comes, there's an explosion of revival. There's an explosion of people who trust Christ as Savior, because that's the moment that they see that Christ loves them most and cares for them. He cares for us all the time. He will not leave us nor forsake us. I love verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. What a joy. You know, the fact that he is there and he cares. And he knows that God is the ultimate victor of everything. Yeah. I've actually been in situations where my thought of retaliation came through my mind, but I wouldn't and say, God's got that. I'm not going to worry about that because God's got that. No matter how wrong, how much I have been wronged in the midst of it, God has it. In a wonderful way, and walking in that. That's his preparing a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. You know, when you and I go through difficult times with joy and hope and trust in God, there are people who see and watch and they go, how do you do it? How do you do that? Why isn't it overwhelming you? And so we have a chance to share our faith in the wonder of who God is and the wonder of all that he provides through Christ our Lord and through the empowering of his Holy Spirit. It takes just trusting Jesus. Now, let's talk about that trust in the fact that he is a shepherd, nurturer, and protector. Take a minute. And I'm only going to give you 20 seconds. But think of something that you trusted. Something that you trusted. Seconds is a long time, isn't it? Anybody willing to share something that you trust in? Jim?
The only one you can trust in is Jesus.
Okay. That's a Sunday school answer. Thank you. But what other things do we naturally trust in? Yeah.
The chair we're sitting in.
Ah, the chair you're sitting in. Yep. And they're new, so you're quite sure that it's solid enough to hold you. And you're trusting that chair. Absolutely. Right? Okay, something else. Scott?
Car brakes.
All right, car brakes, yeah. Every time I get in my car, I trust that the brakes work, you know, or else I'm going to be talking to my mechanic real quick. Dave?
The relationship I have with my wife.
Oh, our relationships with our spouses should be something that we trust, and the faithfulness that is within it. Something else. Yeah, Rebecca?
The sun is going to come up every morning.
Ah, that the sun is going to rise. Yeah, isn't that neat that we have this beautiful, beautiful, true statement that we're going to get to see the sun. Now, in Colorado, we get to see it a whole lot more than we ever did in Erie, Pennsylvania. You know, Erie is in the top 5 cities of the least amount of available sunshine. It's just cloudy all the time. And it's nice to come out here knowing that not only do you know it's coming up and it's getting light out, but you have a good possibility of seeing it. Maybe not today, but we see it. My daughter, when she first moved out here, gosh, 15 years ago, I think, you know, she says, after she went through her first winter, she goes, Dad, you're going to absolutely love winter out here. And I said, why that? And she goes, it only lasts 3 or 4 days at a time. And then it's sunny and 50. You know, in Erie, it starts before Halloween and finishes sometime in March and April. And many years, you don't get to see the grass from that time, which didn't hurt me so much because then I didn't have to mow it. But, you know, just the joy of it. There's so many things we trust in. We trust when we work, we're going to get paid, right? You know, that's just the truth of it, that we're going to get that paycheck at the end to care for needs. We trust people. And sometimes people let us down. But what Jim said is so true. Christ is the one that we can trust every moment of every day, in every circumstance, in every situation, because of his great love. The fact that he would take a wretch like Rich Bailey, who was this wicked man, and not just save his soul, but allow him to be adopted into the family of God, to where I can honestly say, my Heavenly Father. To me, that blows my mind away, and that it's a real relationship, an honest relationship. And then to learn that he is my good shepherd, one that I could trust in. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He will satisfy my soul because he leads me beside. He does direct me to that beautiful brook. He is that rod and staff. He comforts my soul. He corrects it. He directs it. You know, as I yield to all that he is in my life and nurtures and grows, I step back and I'm amazed that God, you would love me so much. And then we get the truth of verse 6. Added on top of all of this, and that is our assurance, this beautiful assurance. Notice what he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Man, if that isn't an exclamation point of who God is and how much he loves you, that he's going to pour out his mercy. What does that mean? He is not going to give you what you deserve for messing up in life. You and I deserve God's chastisement, but because Christ took it on the cross, he had paid for it, he gives us his grace and love in place of that once we repent, and the joy of it. Goodness, God's goodness. You know, James says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes down from where? The Father of lights. Absolutely. You know, I look at my children and wow, what a bundle of joy they were. Sometimes I was pulling out my hair, but what a bundle of joy when they hit teenage years especially, you know. But what a bundle of joy. What a blessing in life. God gave me a spouse who also trusted Christ as Savior, you know. Now, it doesn't mean that Diane doesn't like pushing my buttons every now and then. You never, she is so sweet and innocent. You'd never think that, do you? You ought to live with it. No, I mean, and vice versa. Listen, what we have in Christ is so dynamic and wonderful. And surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, put yourself back in David's shoes. This king just threw a spear at you and tried to nail you against the wall. He's now bringing thousands and thousands of warriors to track you down. You're hiding in caves. You're pretending to be crazy at one time and spit running down your face because somebody else is trying to kill you. And he's saying, surely goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. Why? Because God is still God. He's still on the throne. He doesn't walk away from that position in your life if he is your good shepherd. And he yearns to be that. And we can walk in that in peace and rest in the midst of it. And how does it end? and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Paul said something really profound. To be absent from the body in death is to be what? Present with the Lord. That's a profound statement. And I shall dwell. That will be my habitation all the days of my life. We dwell in the house of the Lord now. We just don't realize that. It's not just a place where we come and worship corporately, but he cares for us here in this tent, this physical tent that is decaying away, and at the age of 67, I know it's getting weaker and more out of shape every year, and part of that's my fault, and part of it's just an age creeping up on me a little bit. You know, things don't work as well and as strong as they used to. But I still dwell in the house of the Lord. He gave me this thing, this earthly tent, and I can worship him within it all the time, even in the worst of times. Why? Because he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Nobody, nothing can overcome us. Yeah? Do we go foolishly and jump off a cliff every now and then and find ourselves on a ledge bleeding and help, help? God never leaves us. He yearns to be our good shepherd. Wonderful assurance. Caring for our every need. Let's stand and close our time in prayer. So here's my question. How are you doing? You know, is life in this world overwhelmed you? Don't give up. You have a God who loves you. And I know now, as the pastor here for a while, I know many of you are walking through difficult times. My heart breaks when I think of individual scenarios. Present in this room and not present in this room. And yet I know a God that loves you so much. And I get the joy of experiencing that, and I yearn for you to genuinely experience that moment by moment. Not just a one time as Christ the Savior, but moment by moment, each day of your lives, to help you walk through those circumstances. And I've also had the joy of watching many of you in the midst of the heartache walk God's way. And that brings joy in the midst of the pain. It brings hope in the midst of the pain. I also know all of us walk in the valley of the shadow of death. We live in a time where Christ is rejected and hated, and I yearn for a revival. I do. I yearn for it here in Ellicott, Yoder, Rush, Callahan, Falcon, all the surrounding areas. And I know it has to start with me for his glory alone. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a couple folks here who can't honestly say the Lord is my shepherd because you have never trusted Christ as Savior. My plea to you, if you really want to celebrate Christmas this year, the greatest thing you could do is call out to God and trust his son, that little baby, as your personal Savior. If you don't know how to do that, we'll have two prayer teams up here. I'd love to pray with you. RJ will be in back if you just need somebody as well. Don't just stand there today. Respond. If the Spirit of God is prodding you, respond. to his Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, I just thank you again for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord. Thank you for this beautiful psalm that is so beautifully true that we all can experience. Lord, how I pray that you would be pleased to work in our midst in a profound way, in a way that only you can. Meeting those needs that are crying out to you right now for peace, for comfort, for strength, for wisdom, for victory, for a Savior. Father, give people the courage to truly celebrate all that you are. Because you are so majestic and holy and powerful and loving and gracious and good.